And I pull up to work, and I'm like, you know, mid Vine career at this point. I get a phone call from my agent, and he's like, "Hey, Matt, I have this brand deal with Burger King. They really like you. They want to do like a campaign with you. They like you so much, they want to legally change your name to Whopper Wednesday." immediately, I'm like.
All right, welcome to another episode. We have the OG crew back together. We have Matt Paquette, Tyler Wells.
Yep.
This is the OG crew from 2008?
2018.
2008. We go way back.
Fresh out of university.
I meant 2018. I was trying to think.
I was like 10 years old.
No. I hired Matt when he was 10 years old.
No.
For those of you who did not know, Matt was my first editor, my first hire, actually.
Yep.
That was 2018, right?
2018,
yeah, 2018.
May.
Man, time flies.
Dude, it's weird. I was like on my phone yesterday trying to figure out when that was, and it's strange.
It feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, I think the pandemic is just like fast forwarded time, like way too much, but.
It's that weird time warp of like, it feels like so much has happened, but also it just flew by. Like I feel like that's what the pandemic did for us. Yeah. Let's go back a little bit. How was it for you, the experience of me hiring you? So like I did, a lot of people might not know this. I did like a kind of like a call out on my channel, and I basically said like, if anybody's interested. And then I chose five people and gave you guys a vlog to edit. And actually, so you were one of them. And Kirk, who is now Peter's or has been Peter's editor for a long time, was one of them. And then you were the chosen one.
Yeah.
Let's reminisce a little bit. What was that? Like,
that's real bad.
You saw my video and you're like, I'm going to go for it.
So I went really aggressive. I was like, I saw your video and I wanted to have my video done by the same night. So I wanted to like, just get something out quick, be one of the first people in. And it was stressful because usually in any sort of job interview, you can send an email, you can communicate. But in this case, it was like, I sent in a video. I kind of got a bit of like a hint that I'd be in the top five because I think you commented on it or something. And so I was like, okay, I'm probably going to be in like the next round. But it was stressful. And I think a lot of it was like, I didn't know if I had made it until the very last moment.
At that point, were you a fan of mine or were you just like, oh, I found out that there's a filmmaking opportunity?
No, I watched your videos, and it was...
Notice how he didn't say he wasn't a fan.
Happily, brutally honest.
I don't think I've ever asked you that, actually.
No, I watched your videos, but it was more like I watched everyone... I was definitely a fan, but like, okay, I take that term very seriously. Like,
a mild fan.
I'm a fan of all the filmmaking channels, I watch them all, what are we talking about?
I think one of the interesting things that I remember you guys talking about, or what you liked about Matt's submission, was that he edited to your style.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the others, people who submitted, wanted to show like all the capabilities that they could do in a video.
Yeah.
But you, and I think you were like intentional about like, oh, Maddie's got a particular style, let me try and like mimic that. And I thought that was like a really interesting dynamic, because I think I would, like, I'm not an editor, but I would be tempted to show everything that I could do.
Yeah, look at my skills,
I'm awesome. Right. And like, you know, the filmmaker can like crowtail me back to what he wanted me to do in a particular video. But you're like, no, Maddie's got a style and I'm going to play to that. I thought that was like super smart.
I think I understood the assignment.
Yeah. As the kids would say these days. Yeah, I think that was what stuck out to me. There was like a lot of good submissions. I remember, I forget what her name was, but there was a girl who, yes. And like a lot of people were like, but she was the best at edit. But she made it her style. It was like her show, her vlog almost. And I was mm-hmm. like, that's not what I want. I want somebody who can emulate what I would do, what my vlog would be like, and not bring their own style. Like, of course, you brought some of your own flavor. We used some of your magician tricks once in a while, and so like you had
VFX buying,
you had things, all that good stuff. But like you emulated my style the best, and that's why I ended up going with you. Mm-hmm. And then you also had some filmmaking skills, which was like one of the things. I was like, okay, that's like another bonus. Like that I can also have you film stuff, help out with some stuff, not just
and
edit.
A red,
yeah, no, the red, like, red meant a lot.
That was really it.
Yeah. We used it.
Not even once. It was a prop one time.
That's true. We bought a prop. That man.
Oh, the big camera comparison. That was the only time we had like all the cameras.
Yeah. Used it probably once. Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, those were good days. And then pandemic hit. Well, we had, first of all, we had a long run.
Yeah.
Good, made it, worked really well, I think, together. I think we had very little issues, like really well. But then pandemic hit, and then all of a sudden
slid down a mountain together.
that's probably the highlight of like this crew. And that was right before that was the last trip before the pandemic.
In Banff. Maybe a couple weeks later, the pandemic like properly hit.
iPhone only. That was so much fun because it was iPhone only. That like we didn't have to carry our own camera gears. Yeah. We were just carrying our iPhones.
Just look like any other like tourist.
Except
no, he's got a million subscribers or whatever.
You never know. I swear he's a filmmaker.
Okay.
The only downside of that trip was the food poisoning that I got.
No! I remember you were like, "Hey Tyler, like, can you pull off soon?" And I was like, we were kind of like a tight road. I was like, I'll pull off on the next thing. He's like, no,
I need now.
No, you need to pull off. We're on this like tight, like little corner, and Maddie's just puking at his guts out in the back. I was like, that was like close. Like as soon as
it's the classic, like, I don't want to inconvenience anybody here. Like, don't worry about I'd actually need to get pull over.
I like to think that food poisoning actually like probably saved me from dying snowboarding on a mountain.
It was meant to be.
Like, it was just, that was
it
the
could
way
have been. You never know.
Yeah.
I was definitely bummed I brought a snowboard all the way to Banff and didn't go snowboarding.
Can't we lug those things through the airport? You always have luggage.
No reason at all. But it was a great trip.
But Matt is alive today.
I did not die on a mountain.
But then, pandemic hit, and then all of a sudden Ontario got super strict, and like we weren't even allowed to be in the same room basically working together. It was this weird time for all of us. And then a lot of people don't know that we had this, like, me and Tyler had this like mentoring company also where we mentor other YouTubers. And then I don't know what you thought, Matt, but I always in my mind was like, okay, Matt's gonna edit for me for a while, but eventually he'll get bored and he'll want to do his own thing. That's what I thought was going to happen.
We haven't mentioned you were a big, like, if people don't know, you were a big Vine star back in the Vine days.
You were
back
OG in the day. Influencer.
I was with the Logan Paul.
Before influencers were called influencers,
literally.
I feel
right? Yeah, before Vine, it was just it wasn't video at all. I mean, a little bit of YouTube, but influencers were just Instagram.
How many followers do you have again on Vine?
760,000.
706. Yeah. That was a lot too. I wasn't
top 10 in Canada.
Wow.
That's crazy. But, is that weird? I feel like you're a very interesting person because you've done a lot of these things, but then you like kind of like go somewhere totally different where like you kind of just forget about all that success that you've had. I'm going to do this other thing now.
I think we've had this conversation when we were trying to figure out what your like brand was for your YouTube channel and stuff like that. It's like you find what the most innovative thing on the internet is and become like a fast expert in it. And then you're like, okay, mastered that. What's the next like internet,
a little bit.
Like, internet thing? So like from Vine to YouTube to now like Web3 stuff to, well, you went
like AI.
You kind of hacked TikTok and found out like the AI stuff worked really well.
Yeah.
And went viral there. Like,
do you regret not milking the Vine more?
I don't think
you kind of just let it die, right?
I don't know if anyone milked it more than I did.
But I mean, in terms of like transition, because like, you know, like the Logan Pauls, they transitioned into YouTube or whatever. But like, you didn't transition. You kind of just like let it die.
Yeah, I think I kind of had to make a decision. People like Logan Paul, David Dobrik, those guys, they were personalities that did really well on YouTube doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. For myself, I kind of fell into this like Zach King category or Caleb Natale, who was like kind of, we were all like in the same circle.
Yeah.
Zach King already had it figured out. He was originally a YouTuber, moved to Vine. He was already scaling and he just took it right into like big VFX. Caleb Natale, another guy who was like, him and I were very close.
Wait, was he on Vine too back in the day?
Yeah, we were Viners.
That's so funny. I've seen him on TikTok now.
But
I think I've messaged him a few times, but like, I didn't know him back then. Like, I didn't. Yeah,
he's super cool. He's kind of like following the same path as Zach King's going, like starting his own studio and doing big VFX and all that. And I didn't really feel like that was the move for me. I enjoyed After Effects, and I think I got pretty good at it, and I was kind of open to the idea of like taking that into like freelance After Effects stuff. And that was kind of more the direction I went. And then also the opportunity to work with you, and that ended up being the path I chose.
Yeah. I guess it kind of all worked out either way. But like, I always wonder, like, I mean, it's kind of like, I think I'll probably have to make that decision someday. Like, well, all right, guys, I'm done with YouTube. Like, what do I do with this? All right, just let it, you know, or maybe YouTube dies someday and I'm forced out, you know?
Was that you feeling like you weren't like a personality like some of these other people? Or was it just like you preferred, you know, kind of editing for somebody or like...
I think it's the...
You enjoyed the editing side and then by proxy you had to post it under your name on Vine. So
Kind of. Because so I think... coming up with VFX ideas is incredibly difficult. It is like you have to be like extremely creative to come up with that stuff. And I think I definitely fit in the technical side, and you know I can drum up some creativity. But it was too difficult, and I kind of already burnt out on Vine before Vine disappeared. So I kind of already was reeling back on Vine.
You were already like set up for like, all right, I think I'm done with this. And then Vine just gave you the reason. Well, actually, we're closing this down. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what led like burnout on YouTube is like a popular or not like a thing that
it's
a lot
not
of
really popular. Everybody's doing it nowadays. I'm thinking about it myself.
Three tips to burnout. Looking at what some of the YouTubers are experiencing now, did you feel that? Like, is it the same type of burnout, or was it? Is it different on Vine?
Definitely very similar because you're putting a lot of effort into very short-term ideas, which I guess I think nowadays social media is getting closer and closer to the same burnout that Vine had.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're like, you have to go, video every single day.
Yep.
And you know that's TikTok. I don't know if a lot of people know, TikTok used to be Musical.ly, which was a ripoff of Dubsmash, which was Vine. Like it was like, there's this whole thing that it all led back to Vine.
Right.
And so it's like any burnout that's happening on TikTok is it's all the same as
it was.
I think people don't understand how much like weird brain power it takes to be creative.
Oh, dude!
And to squeeze creativity leads to burnout really quickly. To have to like force yourself versus like I go to Iceland and I'm just cooking through these videos because I'm inspired right now. After that, that's easy. But to like pandemic time, like just being at the office by myself, like, all right, let's squeeze some creativity out. That's exhausting.
Yeah, totally.
So when you like chose the freelance VFX or editing for Maddie, was that like finally like somebody else can be creative and I can like make it happen? And it was sort of like a stress reliever to go that route?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I loved coming in every day. I don't have to worry about what we're doing because Maddie's got it figured out. I just gotta, you know, open Premiere.
And Maddie does, you know?
I don't got it figured out.
There's so many days where I'm like, man, I wish I was that.
Yeah.
That I could just like have somebody else come up with the creative and like, all right, let's go shoot it. Because that's what I used to do before. I wouldn't, like as a DP, I wouldn't usually like come up with the creative. I would get told the creative and I'm like, all right, here's what I would do. And you know, like you're adding creativity, but you're not coming up with the idea every time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing all the time with YouTube. And it's very interesting to talk about like the kind of like the, like I feel like short form content, Vine, TikTok is like, it's like the epitome of the algorithm. Like yeah. it's mm-hmm. like as deep mm-hmm. as it gets with that. And I don't know if you've, do you know who Hassan, how do you say his
Hassan
last
name? Hassan Minhaj.
Yeah. He's like a comedian guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He was just on yes. Colin Samir and he was talking about like creating basically like an artist creating versus creating for the algorithm. Mm. And I think that it's a big trap that all of us fall into. Kind of just by like nature of it's like, okay, it's also your livelihood. So you're trying mm-hmm. to get views. And so you try to just please the algorithm versus actually just making the things that you are inspired to make, or you're like, man, I'd really like to make a series on this, or I'd really like yeah. to make this video, but it's not going to hit the algorithm very well. So we're going to do this 10 tips on, you know, like, yeah, you know, right. like you're going to go with the algorithm, and then like TikTok, it's like, that's all you're trying to do is yeah. hit the algorithm mm-hmm. All the time. And then you kind of like TikTokers kind of like realize like, oh, this hits the algorithm. And then they just go with that instead of, I feel like it's not the like, hey, I'm going to be trying to be really creative and tell a good story or something. And then mm-hmm. that pops off. It's like the reverse yeah. almost.
And you're working totally. With brands. You worked with brands on Vine.
Yeah.
Was it stressful if like a video didn't hit the algorithm mm. the yeah. way like your pricing would have like, and so you like that, I think that's what's interesting.
Yeah.
The difference between TikTok and Vine and YouTube is generally, I think there's a baseline of views that you can expect, but
yeah.
Vine yeah. And TikTok seems like it's either hit it like on or off. Like there's no, like one mm-hmm. video can get like 1,000 views and another can get like 1.5 million. And like, yeah. it's hard. I would assume it's harder to price like brand deals and stuff like that when you mm-hmm. can't tell.
Yeah.
When something's gonna go viral.
Thankfully, back then there actually was no algorithm on Vine. It was just
yeah. That's chronological. What I was just gonna say, yeah. right? That's I didn't even piece that together.
Yeah, yeah. There is just chronological, and the other thing too is, there was some tricks that you could do if your video wasn't doing well. You could ask someone to share it because back then it was like Twitter. It was essentially right. Twitter. You like share. Like it was
interesting.
Retweet, revine.
What? So I get that's very interesting because. I guess there was less algorithm going on when I started doing YouTube, but mm-hmm. I feel like I've always kind of lived in that world. What is that like comparing Vine to TikTok now?
Oh, yeah. If you had followers on Vine, you could actually, like, people would see your video.
You could have that standard.
You could rely on, like, a base of people watching your videos. Mm. Or now I feel like with TikTok, like, I follow so many people, I don't see their videos.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
unless I swipe over to the following section, yeah. which I rarely do.
It's really weird, eh?
Yeah, I feel like I follow people on TikTok more so that I don't lose them than...
Yeah, yeah it's like a bookmarking.
It's like a bookmark yeah. feature than it totally. Is like...
Except you lose them anyways because yeah. you don't ever go to the other side.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm following this guy. Yeah. You know, like...
that. Yeah.
Sorry, go on about the algorithm versus no algorithm.
Yeah, no, like, so you could at least like... Yeah. You would at least have like a base you could rely mm-hmm. on who's going to see your video. But for the most part, at least the category I fell in, because I was doing visual effects, I think a lot of the brands were actually more interested in like the content I was creating. So I kind of fell into a nice middle ground between content creator and influencer, where I was able to rely on like my video and effects skills, but still have that base to build, like to get a viewership.
Right. So are you talking about like they wanted you to make a video for this company, whatever company,
yeah.
like instead of like, hey, we want you to post on your Vine. That wasn't as important to them almost, like or it was like both.
I'd say both. And yeah. like also smart brands would put ad money behind your Vine, and Vines worked really well with Twitter where you can run ads. And so like there was a bit of an ecosystem that they could make sure it succeeds.
I don't know if you shared with me or like elsewhere, but can you tell the story Burger King?
Yep.
Yeah. That this is wild.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm Maddie's manager and have done brand deals, but this is the wildest brand deal that I've ever heard of.
This is like my favorite story.
Yeah.
All right. So at the time, it was like 2014. I was working at a video production company back in my hometown. And I pull up to work and I'm like, you know, mid Vine career at this point. I get a phone call from my agent, and he's like, "Hey, Matt, I have this brand deal with Burger King. They really like you. They want to do like a campaign with you. They like you so much, they want to legally change your name to Whopper Wednesday." immediately.
I like, love that like, they like you so much.
Yeah, those were his words.
"Except not your name, so we're going to change it to Whopper."
How does what would be on your driver's license would be Whopper Wednesday?
100%. Yeah. Every legal document would have to get changed. And I was like, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. And they're like, they're down to cover like all the legal fees. You only have to do it for 30 days. Then after 30 days, you can like switch revert it back.
What a headache.
Right. They'll pay for all of it. And I was like, that's ridiculous. And then I was like, no way I'm doing that. And he's like, but we can charge into the six figures. And I was like, all right. That's the moment where I'm evaluating how much is my name worth for 30 days.
Literally. How much is my name worth?
Yeah. So he's like, he says he's going to talk to them. He'll call me back. I'm like, okay. So I go to work. I'm like, you know, at work editing on Premiere, because that's what I did. You know, I'm just like thinking, like, how much would I trade my name for 30 days?
What's that worth?
Eventually, I get a phone call back, and he's like, "Yeah, they don't have the budget for this." So we compromised. I changed my Twitter handle to Whopper Wednesday.
When?
Yeah.
Much easier than changing.
And I made like 4 VFX videos throughout the month, and it went over like Facebook, Twitter, Vine.
And you have the Whopper tattoo, right?
Yeah.
It would have been very funny if like you were getting married that month or something like that, and then your wife legally was like Mrs. Wednesday.
Hey, you know what's funny? This is a little off topic, but a lot of people just don't want to change their names right now because the whole like government stuff's all messed up.
Oh, backed up.
I'm so glad we didn't, because we got married right before COVID. So
everything gets like,
unless everyone's you were actually stuck. Whopper Wednesday, and that would be an issue.
Yeah, it was no issue.
So do you, you posted a little bit on TikTok. You don't post as much anymore, right?
No. I don't personally feel like there's value for me there.
Is that just an evolution of Matt Paquette, or is that you felt very differently about Vine versus TikTok?
It's kind of the crossover from I've already had the challenges of coming up with new ideas on Vine, but I didn't feel like I wanted to go through that on TikTok.
Yeah.
So which is kind of like where I got into like the AI stuff on TikTok, because that's something I was really interested in.
Yeah.
That got did pretty good.
It's an interesting point. Totally misvalue or underappreciate how you really have to be into something to become one of the best at it.
Yeah.
Like nobody becomes one of the best at something that they don't really enjoy. Mm-hmm. There's an aspect of you get, the better you get, the more you enjoy it. But like if you're not already like, hey, I'm just going to spend my free time digging into this, you're never going to become the best at that thing. Yeah. Never. Like there's no chance. I'm sure you can build a business or have a career or whatever, fine.
Yeah.
To be the best, no chance. Like you have to be that into it. That like, oh, I just liked AI stuff. Like, like to me, that's not, I'm not that, like I find it interesting, but I don't want to dig into AI in my free time.
Yeah.
Whereas you do, you know?
Yeah, I found it really interesting, especially coming from like media, like AI generated media was so fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think you've done some video like, converting something from like 30 frames to 60 frames through AI and like all that stuff, like
frame interpolation.
Like there's probably like you're interested because you see such a progression of like where this could potentially go and what it means for media that
Now I genuinely think anybody who can figure out how to control AI will have the most power in the media world.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting how people think that like it's going to take over our jobs like as creatives, but I think it's just a tool. Yeah. And it's like one of the most powerful tools that will be made in like you know, our generation probably.
Yep. 100%.
So Matt, you're
let's go back. Go. So we're before we got into all this tangent, mentor company and pandemic hit, couldn't be here anymore. So I was like, I don't know what to do with Matt. He's like, I don't have, like, you can't even come in to edit right now. It was like a weird time. And I always had this like idea that you'll eventually go and do your own thing again, whether it's content creation or whatever it is. And then at that point, we had a conversation about like, would you want to try and do your own YouTube channel? And we would like kind of take you under our mentorship thing. Yeah. But we were going to do it a little bit differently. It's funny how a lot of people got mad at me when I think I even made a video saying I fired you, whatever, just for clickbait, whatever.
Totally.
But like people don't know that you for a year after that and literally, like helped you get it. Like we had this plan. They're like, okay, you're going to start your own YouTube channel or like keep it going, whatever, mm-hmm. and do your own thing. Let's talk through that because I feel like there's a lot of lessons there to be learned. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious from your side, what was that like? Like, okay, so we had that call. What were you feeling at that point then?
Well, I think the way a lot of things go at the beginning, you're really excited. You're like, this is so cool. Like, I'm so down. So it was interesting. I do want to mention a little bit back here.
Yeah.
The fact that Maddie knew that there was a global pandemic coming and a week before everything went down, you were like, leave the office, don't come back, go to the grocery store. Like, I don't know how you knew. I don't know what podcast you're listening to, but Maddie Aboya, he knew. And the crazy part about it, that same day, you were like, pandemics last like 2 to 3 years. Everyone thinks it's going to be 2 weeks. Maddie knows it's 2 to 3 years. I don't know how you do that. Before everyone else was off work, you sent me home. And so I went home and I don't know, for a couple of weeks, we were just kind of waiting it out.
Yeah.
And then the phone call happened. Yeah. And
thank you for that. Giving me that prophetic.
No, it was wild.
I don't even know where, I don't even remember how to say that stuff.
I think you listened to just the right podcast or something.
Yeah, I do remember being a little bit attuned to it more. And I remember like looking around, I'm like, people don't seem to be realizing that this is probably going to affect us in a bigger way. And we went to like Costco and like stocked up. I'm not a prepper in any way, but I was like, I think this is actually like could be a little weird for a bit. So let's just be safe. Ended up with a bunch of Tim Hortons soups that were terrible.
How dare you blaspheme Tim Hortons?
The canned soups were tasted absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. Anyways.
Yeah. Really excited. At first, I think it was a lot of fun. It was a good challenge. Challenges are exciting at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, I think that challenge became harder and harder to come up with video ideas. I really got to see the what it's like to be in your shoes and come up with it like you say all the time. And you know, coming up with video ideas every day is extremely hard.
Yeah.
And also putting yourself in the right mindset to film yourself is extremely challenging if you're not naturally extroverted, or even if you're not extroverted, I don't know, like for myself, like it was a mental challenge to turn on a camera.
Yeah.
And like to the point where it's getting to the point where I'm like frustrated, like in whatever I'm trying to do, because I don't want to turn on the camera.
Yeah.
And it's.
Yeah.
And is it the buildup of you knowing like the Vine stuff, and it's kind of the, I'm going to default to Maddie and like external freelance clients to do all the creativity for me. And then you're like, okay, I am ready to do this again. And then like
back
a couple months in, it's like, you know what? I don't like this as much as I thought I was going to. Then almost like PTSD, like flashbacks into like Vine days or.
Yeah. It kind of comes down to like the inspiration. Like at first I was really inspired to do it.
Mm.
And then being in lockdown at home and my house and like I'm trying to make videos at home. It was very uninspiring after a while, which, you know,
right.
just kind of snowballs.
I remember thinking like, or you kept like kind of I noticed like you were posting videos and then it kind of like slowed off, and then we had some like conversations or like trying to like help you out, and like it seemed like you're having a hard time coming up with ideas, and I'm like, oh, it's easy, and like my brain is like attuned to that. I can like take any niche kind of thing, basically like, oh, here's 5-10 videos it's like you can work on right now kind of thing,
right?
But the problem is when they're not coming from like yourself, from your own motivation, it's really hard to take somebody else's idea and be like, yeah, I'm going to make that video. And I even with my own ideas, like I'll write down 5 ideas. I'm like, oh, easy. I'll just pick one of these next day and do one of them. And then I wake up the next day and look at them. I'm like, I don't feel like doing any of these ideas. Yeah. And you're like, well, what am I going to do now? And then you have to kind of, again, squeeze out some of creativity. Yeah. Like, what can I do in a day? I got to post it in a couple of days. So, like, I got a day to film, day to edit. Let's go.
Another challenge there is, like, is what I am saying actually valuable to the viewer? And I think that is something that you challenge yourself on. And
yeah.
It in of it itself can slow you down and
100%.
Stop you from...
I think that's an overthinking thing, though. Like,
yeah.
If you're... I always say if you're better than the average person at something, then like you can easily provide value, because then that means there's like a massive amount of people that are also interested in the same thing and are worse than you. And so like if you can give them even a little bit of tips or a little bit of something, then like you're good. But it's good that you're thinking like that, that like how do I actually provide value, or like, you know, why would somebody want to watch versus just trying to like, what's the next viral thing I can try, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think with you, we got into conversations around like, who is Matt and what does he enjoy? And this is kind of circling back to beginning of the podcast, where it's like, you seem to be on the forefront of like whatever's going on the internet. And that's actually what you're interested in. So it happened to be VFX back in the day, and then the AI thing. And now you're into like programming and not like interested in like editing or like video stuff at all. And like you built an app that was all programming to like autofocus your Red camera. So it's like whatever is like the forefront of the internet seems to be where you gravitate towards. And almost like YouTube was great, but it's
old news.
It's old news.
Boring.
Yeah, super boring now. I'm onto. Does that resonate?
Yeah, totally. And like even when I think about like TikTok, I don't even necessarily even want to go that route. Like go into there, because I feel like it was not that you've missed the boat. It's just not the boat you want to be on, I guess. I don't know.
So can we, since Maddie has already been in Nostradamus with the pandemic stuff, what's the Matt Paquette prediction of where the internet is going? You already did the AI thing.
So I think, no, like I genuinely think people who figure out how to control machine learning will be in control. Like if you can build the tools, you're ahead of the game. If you know how to like,
So are you working towards figuring that out, or what's
a little bit?
On?
It's a whole progression that you know. I'm gonna reel back a little bit and let's talk about like freelance, because that kind of led to the development.
Yeah. And so you did the YouTube for a while.
Yeah.
And then it kind of felt like you kind of fell out. And I never wanted to push you too hard, because like, I think there's only so much another person can do. Like I can fan the flame, but if there's no flame, then I'm just like putting it out basically, you know? And I think that would have been even worse. And I always just wanted to give you the opportunity to like, hey, try it out. See, like it worked out really well for me. Maybe it'll work out for you. And then it didn't seem to work out.
Yeah.
And then you stopped making videos. What happened there?
Yeah. So what happened there? Everything you do in life, I put into two categories. It either needs to be really fun or it needs to pay the bills. YouTube was fun, but it was really challenging. Sometimes it's not fun. It's like 50-50. Sometimes it's really fun. And then sometimes it pays the bills, sometimes it doesn't. So it didn't, I couldn't get it to the point where I either really enjoyed it or I was like, just
making bank and
being
then
comfortable.
You could do,
So then that kind of led me to, obviously I need to pay my bills. And so I was kind of like, all right, I'm going to take the Maddie Hapoya tip and try and do freelance and YouTube at the same time. And once they kind of 50-50 out, transition full-time back into YouTube. That was my thought, my plan.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm still there. I don't know. Maybe we're still on that plan.
Do you think you'll go back to YouTube still?
Oh, totally. It just
has to be.
Cool. I like that. Yeah.
It has to be something I 100% enjoy.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
I think for you too, you have this weird, and a lot of people go through this, where you're interested and you're good at a bunch of things, and then you see other people doing something, so you kind of slot yourself into these categories, like, okay, well, I don't want to be a VFX magician YouTuber. Do I become a filmmaker YouTuber? And so you dabbled in that a little bit, and then we were kind of like, me and Tyler are like, actually, maybe that's not your area, maybe it's the internet, I don't know what the internet geek,
futurist.
Yeah. Geek in the best sense of the, like, I say that and like, that's a term of endearment for me at least.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
you're like dabbling in all this super interesting internet stuff. And like, I felt like that was the way, but maybe you weren't quite there in your own journey yet that you felt like, oh, I can now make videos on this internet, interesting future stuff?
Yeah. So that was all trying to like figure out my voice, right? Like on YouTube. And that's kind of like where I ended up. Just seeing like what's next in technology. And, you know, I one of the things I really tried to strive for is like showing that you don't have to be a programmer. Well, ironically, I'm a programmer now, but you don't have to be like,
you have to be a programmer.
All the tools I wanted to show, like, was like open source. You can download can them. Anyone can do it. You just, I guess, need the tools.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's kind of like what I started with filming. I was like, oh, just pick up a camera. Here's some tip. Anybody can make these videos, basically, you know, like with these. And so you're now like, that's the thing is, you know, right now, there's some like internet geek future, like tech, whatever channels, but I don't feel like they've like hit mainstream yet in a big enough way. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling with this AI stuff that will become like a section of YouTube that's like everybody, oh, it's the AI section, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's when you kind of tipped more into the freelance side of things, you had some like amazing opportunities within the freelance side that is like, oh yeah, that's cooler than YouTube. Like,
it's cooler than I'm doing. I'm doing on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, are you allowed to like share
sure.
like, some of this? Yeah, like you were working with like Ryan Reynolds and did a lot of the Rex.
Yeah, well, so, tell us about that. That was so random.
So yeah, so it was just through freelance. A friend of mine called me saying that he was asked to be Ryan Reynolds' like social media editor, but he didn't feel like he had enough of the requirements because they needed everything like VFX, video editing, like 3D. Like they needed someone who could kind of just cover all their bases. So I started working as Ryan Reynolds' editor. love saying that.
Just another notch of the YouTube channel kind of like fell off. Like,
yeah, that's a little bit. Good. Actually, that would have been kind of the transition off YouTube a little bit.
Yeah. Is this a dream by you? Like posted on something on Twitter and then like Ryan Reynolds is like tweeting. I'm like, well, moved on to bigger and better things.
I got a little in trouble for that. which is like, okay, so typically as a freelancer, you show your work online because you are a freelancer. Yeah. That's how you get work.
Of course, yeah.
I don't know somebody what I should like really it. Yeah, essentially, let's just say marketing agencies like to have a particular perspective or like, you know. So
they did this, not...
They did. So there's a bit of a disconnect between like Ryan Reynolds, his agency that he owns, and some freelancers.
Right, right, yeah, so, that makes sense.
And especially when you're like verified on Twitter and stuff like that, then it looks,
I wasn't just some random guy. Like, Ryan Reynolds saw it.
So now you're not doing any filmmaking stuff.
Yeah, so that kind of like just freelance job to freelance job led me into an animation job for a good friend of mine who is in my wedding party. He's a really good graphic designer, like one of the best graphic designers I know. And I should say artist, actually. And he like years ago wanted to get into like the NFT world. And I was like, yeah, I mean, like, here's some websites, go look. And he kind of like went on his own thing, found a crew, like was doing this thing for a couple years. And he came to me around this time and was like, I need an animator for this thing we're doing. And I was like, okay. And it was really fun. Like, we just got to make cool animations and, you know, whatever. And then he was like, he was like, we need a developer. And I was like, well, I guess I could try and figure it out because I had a bit of programming knowledge. And, you know, I took a couple months and like just dove into crypto development. And
the usual.
Here I am. I know way too much about crypto. so I've literally been a full-time developer since like March now. So like almost the whole year.
Is that super weird for you? Or is that
it's really weird. So the funny thing is that I don't think I could just go get a tech job right now. Like, I don't think I have the qualifications.
Right.
But if you kind of make your own path and just figure out the things you need to, and especially as a freelancer, same thing with filmmaking. Like, I think because I kind of figured out how to become a filmmaker my own way, I kind of just followed the same footsteps into figuring out development. And super weird.
Like, what YouTube is for filmmakers, like figuring out, is there YouTube channels that do that, or is it like, was it Substack? No, sorry, not Substack. What's the, where all the coding, I've been there to find like Squarespace CSS.
Stack Overflow.
Stack Overflow. Yeah. Like, where did you learn?
Yeah.
Like, how to program.
You start yourself on YouTube, yeah, just to figure out the basics, because it's a little bit easier. You get a little bit more explanation. You kind of get fed stuff. And then you just constantly Google very specific things.
Yeah.
Actually, before I even did any of this was when I built the app to control my red, which was kind of just like, I didn't want to pay for an app, so I built it, you know? Like,
yeah, isn't that one of those like super overpriced apps too? That
yeah, was, like, super expensive. I get it. Like, yeah, it's our red, but like, yeah, I'm not paying $200 for a remote.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Anyways, so you just made it.
All I wanted to do was pull focus, so I did it.
Easy as that.
Yeah.
And it's still for sale?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think my developer license is expiring this year. Because you have to pay for it every year. I don't know if your app disappears, but
yeah,
like, nobody downloaded it.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's very niche.
Are you at the same time now dabbling then in the AI tech world?
Well, the funny thing is now I feel like I have the ability, through all the things I've learned over the past, like, whatever, 8 months, that I could actually develop anything. Especially like in AI, because a lot of AI stuff is open source. You basically just host the processing and whatever, you wrap it into your own product, and you're kind of like selling the service of the, you know, the AI processing.
Right.
So I think I could absolutely do something along those lines. I actually did have an idea for a video that's not a video. I had an idea for a product that...
We're going to have to bleep this?
Like, yes, we can. Tyler, you can cut this out, and then we can just show the reaction.
Yeah. So, oh my god, that's insane!
So it's called MoGraph Maker, and it's my idea was to take, like, I was going to build a demo and bring it to you and be like, I want to take, like, your motion graphics, and it's a server side processing where you sign up, you can pay like $1, $2, whatever, or maybe it's a monthly subscription.
Yeah.
You pay for the animation, but it's there's other like services that already exist that do this, but in this case these are like YouTuber designs. These are like Matty Hapoya's pack server side render, and you get like ProRes Alpha ready to go in any editor you want.
Sorry, explain a little bit more.
Yeah, so I don't want anyone to steal this idea.
Okay, so then don't explain. Yeah. Okay, so you were good.
It's an idea, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
But the funny thing is that that idea I couldn't do because I didn't have a developer who was down to like partner on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least, so I was like, now I feel like I could do it
on my own.
But.
Interesting. Why do you think I'm seeing so much AI stuff right now? DALL-E, Midjourney, every day there's like Facebook has their like make videos through words. I haven't seen, I don't know if that one's out yet, but like there's all of these things. Even like, I mean, it's more machine, like it's weird. It's like more machine learning everything, I feel like, than AI, but it's just being lumped into AI nowadays.
All the same.
But like, you know, Descript, I don't know if you know what Descript is. Like you can literally... like just talk words and then like you can edit the video or audio based on the words, but then you can also just like add in words and it'll just like speak it in your voice.
Mm. Yeah.
So like you could do a whole podcast just from like text based, like, which I was listening to I forget what podcast it was. I think it was like a New York Times. I think it might've been, The Daily. And I feel like they were just using that because the voice sounded a little bit like off. Like most people wouldn't notice, but like it sounded like a little bit off. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, did the guy just literally use a script, like do his voice and then just like type it out and like, I don't even have to do the rest of it. But anyways, why, like what's your take on that? Why is this happening right now? Why is everything...
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this technology has existed for a while, but it's kind of been kept behind like a barrier because they're like, we don't know the ethical consequences of this existing. Yeah. But then the problem is that eventually someone else is going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's happening now is that you start seeing all these open source projects because Adobe had, what did you call that software? Descript?
Yeah, it's not Adobe's, but yeah, it's a different one. Yeah.
But Adobe had that years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was Key and Peele or whatever. They had a big presentation.
Yeah.
And then they were like, yeah, we're not releasing this.
Yeah, we're actually
too dangerous.
Yeah.
But here we are. Like, it's evolved to the point where if you don't release it, someone else will. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Even one of these, I don't know how much I should say, but one of these, like, tools right now. They're kind of like, you can't do this, you can do this.
Yeah.
And it's already now changed after a couple months. Now you can do almost all those things that they're saying you can't do.
Like a public figure.
Saying generate this person with this. Yeah. They're like, we don't want that. And it makes sense because there's a lot of crazy stuff that could happen. But
absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about. For example, Dolly 2 was put behind like a wall, like you needed access, but then Stable Diffusion came out, which is like practically just as good with no restrictions, like whatever restrictions they built into it.
So then Dolly is like, well, if they're doing it, then we will do the same.
And that's the progression where I think everything's just gonna like eventually just be unlocked and
just let the genie out of the bottle.
Or you can have AIs that can detect if something's been built by AI or...
I really think it's one of those, like, it'll be one of those pivotal things for creators where, like, if you're not using machine learning tools or AI tools, you won't be as good as the rest. It's like film versus digital. Like, I'm always going to beat film. It's like, well, digital's pretty freaking good nowadays. Yeah. Like, pretty much everybody shoots digital. So if you're only film, like, you're going to get, you know, much less jobs. Same thing, I think, if you're not using machine learning to edit your videos, it's just like, hey, edit this together with like a Peter McKinnon style, blues music, make it pretty upbeat, edit, and then like machine learning does that for you in 2 seconds. Yeah. Like, actually change that to more like an Epidemic EDM song. Give me that. Give me 5 different versions of that. Machine learning does that. Like, if you're just like, okay, I'm just clicking around, like that's going to seem so ancient and slow.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like all of us are going to have to learn these tools.
Yeah.
With what Maddie described there, how far away do you think we are from that based on the Matt futurist internet?
Well, I'd say that the best swing I've seen at it is, Runway. Mm-hmm. You showed me Runway, actually.
My brother showed me.
Your brother, and then you showed me. They came out with they branded it really funny. It was like a magic box. You type in whatever you want, and it'll just do it. So kind of like exactly what you're saying, but it's like obviously I think it's still pretty limited. It can only do what it can do, but it's not that far from doing everything you just said.
Yeah,
you know, like it's only one step away, another step, and
To me, it does like even a couple 2 years ago. That's like what I just said sounded a little bit outlandish. Like, well, that's gonna take a long time. Now I'm like, well, I wouldn't be surprised if next month somebody's like, hey, and we have a new tool. All you have to do is just write down stuff and it'll edit it for you. Like, okay, that makes sense. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize if you're not an editor, if you're not a filmmaker, you don't realize how like calculated everything is. Kind of like a music has 4 beats to a bar, you edit to the music, you know, like everything is pretty like it's like a puzzle piece and you just put it together, and like computers can solve puzzles better than we can. And so like to me it actually is very simple, but then like there's gonna be like stylistic things and whatever, like, well, I like this stylistically better than what this, even I don't know if you like comparing like Dolly and Midjourney, for example. I don't know how exactly the differences or anything, but everything I see out of Midjourney is very cinematic, very like like if I was making a mood board or trying to come up with like frames for a movie, Midjourney. Dolly, not as cinematic. It has kind of like a different look to it always, and so like that stuff is where, like, you know, Cleo Abrams, I think is that her name. She's on YouTube nowadays. She did a video on
Big If True.
Yeah, and like she did a video where there was like a pro artist using Dolly. I think they're using Dolly, and then her using Dolly and trying to create the same thing. And the pro artist did a way better job. Like, it looked so much better than her. Like, okay, she got stuff done, but like the pro artist, with his knowledge of like what to write, what to think of, what to look for, like, he did a way better job. And that's what I think we will be in the future. Yeah. It's like using this, but it's, you know.
Yeah,
you can describe those like subtle differences between something that's
we need top down lighting, cinematic, like moody, yeah, yeah, you know, like back, add a backlight to it, like just knowing that stuff, yeah, you know.
Dolly's the DP.
Yeah. I actually, there was a website I developed and I made the background. It was like, I needed like a throne and I just used Dolly and then like used AI to upscale it and like Photoshop to clean it up. Like, this is a good tool.
I was even thinking about making a video. I don't know if I'll make it, but like how to make thumbnails real fast. It's literally like take a photo of yourself with an iPhone and you have that like where it like selects you out of the, so you can just like copy and paste yourself from that and then Dolly like whatever background you want and bam.
Yeah, there you go. You could build a title. You could train an AI on like every Mr. Beast thumbnail and like just you could be a Mr. Beast thumbnail maker. Like, here's a video, give me a description, here's your thumbnail.
Mr. Beast. I don't want a Mr. Beast thumbnail.
No, but someone does.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people do for sure. So I think there's two camps here. There's a lot of people, I think the majority of people are very freaked out by all this stuff. I think that's just like the human nature.
Yeah.
We get freaked out by technology. You're like, well, this is evil. Mm-hmm. This can't be good. Like that's always, you know, but then there's like the people that end up being the most successful with the new technology are the ones who are like embrace it and learn it. So how are you feeling about all this right now?
I think there's going to be a huge trend of AI style visual effects. Mm. There's a handful of people on Instagram and TikTok who are already doing it.
What does that mean?
So trippy things being generated into a scene or like
kind of like very organic like things that are very hard to design but like a computer can just like mash together a bunch of stuff.
Like you could write a script to like turn a building into a skyscraper and back down to a building and like people are already doing that on TikTok.
Yeah,
you composite it back into the video and it looks good.
I just saw somebody with like it was a photo of Big Ben in London and they like masked out the building there and then just typed out different things and then they just like warped it into like different structures basically.
Yeah,
like it's crazy how fast it's developing.
What about the I don't want to say like conspiracy theory like AI stuff but like the singularity and like all of that stuff where AI like turns on humans and all of that like
Terminator
like that's, I think, what the layperson thinks of, like the Will Smith movie. Like all the expressions of AI that you've seen so far, are just like creative or.
Well, yeah, it makes me curious. Like, could world leaders just decide to give calculations to AI to figure out the decisions we should make? Like, could that happen? Mm. Like, run algorithms to see what the best outcome should be.
I mean, it makes sense that like it's just like with creatives, it's just a tool that everybody's going to use. Like, oh, like how do I figure out like what's the best way to interior decorate this office? Like, oh, I'll just run a machine learning program. Like, give me some options in different styles and like, oh, okay, let's go with that one. Yeah, like
literally
you did it in 5 seconds versus like, you know, all the crazy work it would take to actually like design this, you know, bit by bit.
Yeah, and it's just put that on your country and let the AI figure it out.
For Mr. What Beast should we do with nuclear weapons?
I don't know.
If AI wants to get rid of us, they're going to be like, "Yeah, blow everything up."
Yeah, I don't think the AI will ever be in control. But you know, I don't put it past like
to me. Still there's like such a big leap to like it being like a living thing, you know, versus just like it is a tool.
Yeah.
Right now, it still very much seems like a tool. It's a very fancy tool that can fool a lot of people, but it's still just a tool right now. I don't know if we'll ever get to like
100%. I'm waiting for the day when you start to see like those like machine learning AI effects in commercials and like movies and stuff or something. Like I'm curious to see how long that'll take.
Yeah. Probably won't take long. Like you're already now. I see FPV everywhere now.
Yeah.
FPV, I'm a survivor. Survivor of the reality. That's the only reality TV show I basically watch. We've been ever since we were kids. And like, I just saw in this season, the FPV drones and Formula One. They're trying to incorporate FPV. It's been very, very rough. they've been trying to incorporate it a lot. And snowboarding events I've seen there. Like there's this natural selection where they just do like mountain riding and they have FPV drones following them. And so I think it's the same, like it goes very quickly. Like FPV, I feel like only just recently exploded, even though FPV stuff has been around for a while. Yeah. And now it's everywhere.
Yeah. It went from like racing to cinematic.
Yeah. Yeah. Real fast.
Can I share an unpopular opinion? Yes, maybe it's not all that unpopular. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to clip this, put it on TikTok, put it on.
Please do.
This will be the cold open.
So part of the reason why, the FPV stuff kind of reminded me of it, but part of the reason why I wanted to kind of leave editing and like the filmmaking world is that you're very replaceable. Mm. There's so many filmmakers. There's so many editors. Someone's going to do it for free. Like doesn't matter what you're charging, someone else will be free. So I mean, I understand like if you're a YouTuber, obviously you're paving your own path. You're not.
That is a very interesting, very interesting thought. It is like, and I think that's with a lot of things nowadays. If you only have one skill, unless you're the absolute best at it, which obviously most of us aren't. I'm not the best at filmmaking. Then you have to have something else to give. Now to replace me, who is a filmmaker, knows a fair amount about YouTube, also has a YouTube channel with a big audience and all these other little skills, that's much harder to replace now, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. That's why I always say, like, just, you know, learn a whole bunch of skills, but then you still have to get good at like a lot of those. You can't just be, a lot of people say I'm a jack of all trades, but it's like, well, you kind of just suck at everything. You're not really good at anything.
Yeah.
But you have to really dive deep into it. And that's why, like, we started our FPV journey a couple of years back, and like it was a struggle.
Yeah, that was Matt started
soldering. They're like, wait a second, this is stupid. Why are we? If I want to use an iPhone, I'm not building my own iPhone. If I want to use an FPV drone, why do we have to build FPV drones? This is the stupidest thing I've heard.
Because there were so many like purists back then. Were like, you need to build your own.
And like I was in a different position. Like I didn't want to spend the time. I could just buy, and then we bought them. And then like all of a sudden, just like, all right, let's go. And like now my FPV skills are like so different, you know, like
you actually got into FPV I think fairly strategically in that like no one's doing this right now.
It's it's exactly like
we
what's your
trend.
Exactly. And what now, what's something, drones are boring.
Yeah.
What can we do that's next level that nobody else is really doing? Okay, let's make FPV cinematic.
And
that's what
FPV's
I want to do. FPV
is becoming more normative.
Yeah.
Similar to...
A couple of years from now, everybody's going to have FPV. Everybody knows how to fly an FPV drone. And there's probably machine learning that flies it for you. Just like fly this, you know, surf this spine of this mountain and come back to me. Thanks.
Yeah. Have you seen like the AI generated, you just take a photo of like from a drone and it'll just generate a whole like... fly through like that doesn't exist.
I saw Karen X Chen, do you know her on Instagram? Yeah. I shouted her out way back like when we were working.
Like 360
stuff,
right?
Yeah. And now she's got a way bigger following than I do. She's like on the Facebook. She was in the Facebook whatever event. I saw her post where like they just took an iPhone, did a bunch, I think it was video or photos. Took a bunch of photos and then they did like that same thing where you drone fly through it. I'm mind boggled by it. I don't know how that works fully.
Yeah.
That's like, I program that. Yeah.
Can you do that? Do you know how to do that?
I could explain how it works. I wouldn't know how to, like, I'm sure I
can. Can you
Google
figure it out so we can do a video together?
Sure. Yeah, totally.
How to do drones without drones.
Yeah.
I think Matt should just like vlog his like day to day and like that's your stuff. But like, it's,
I don't think it's vlog.
Like, or maybe not vlog, but like,
take us through the journey of going through something.
I'm thinking about AI today. Like, very few people wake up and think about AI and programming. It's like, I want to know what the, I want to be on
the there's a lot of people
like,
that think about programming. I think there's a big place for somebody like you on YouTube if you wanted to go down that route. Like, I think it is like a, I saw this crazy thing and I want to try to recreate it. Or like, I had an idea and I want to see if I don't know if it's possible, but I want to try. Okay, so step one, we got to figure out how to do this. We're going to use this tool, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's try it out. Well, that's a fail. Okay, back to the drawing board. Let's try this tool. Whatever. And like, I find those very interesting. Like, did you see the guy, the hacker guy who hacked the hardware wallet things on YouTube?
Yes, that was a fan. Yeah, I think you sent it to me. Actually.
Yeah, you right away. I was like, I sent it to my brother and you probably. And I was like, you guys are like this.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And like that, you know, that kind of sort of thing. Like that's so fascinating for me. At least I think a lot of people are into that.
I think I've heard a few podcasts of like smart business people talking about things, and then like I'll recall a conversation that we had. And I was like, Matt was talking about this like 8-9 months ago. Yeah. He's onto something new. Like, and like, so I think you're like, you, if you were to somehow capture some of your thoughts, like, I wonder, and the, cause I think you're in an innovative space. Like, is there like an opportunity there to be like a internet futurist ideas person? And like the main, or even like people who are considered cutting edge are just hearing about stuff that you've talked about for like a year, like 9 months already or something like that. So there's something to the Matt brain that I think is interesting.
I would love to. I think another external pressure right now is my wife's in schools and I'm self-employed. Like,
gotta make the money.
I gotta make up for the second like income that's not there.
One thing I'm curious about, going back, I paid you for a year and like you basically didn't have to worry about your bills in a way and you could just focus on YouTube. Now thinking back, I'm like, was that actually harmful in a way? Because it like, you didn't have this like fire under your butt to like, well, I gotta do this because like my livelihood is on the line. Do you think there was a little bit of that, or that it didn't actually affect things as much?
It might have. I don't know. It's hard to say, because I mean, you'd have to. I'm currently on the other side at the moment, and like I said, my plan was to try and do freelance and YouTube and then meet in the middle and then go back to full YouTube. I'd say it was like the biggest blessing in my life. It was probably one of the nicest things anyone's ever offered to do for me. Just, hey, I want to pay you to make YouTube videos. I think it also became an external pressure that I need to make these videos because someone is funding me to make them. So it was, and then it's kind of just like a back and forth of, it's hard because I'm like, it creates a bigger hurdle because of the pressure, and then the mental pressure of,
then you're trying to turn the camera on, it's just not working, but Maddie says I have
not to that extent, but there's definitely that pressure.
But it is very interesting. Like there's adverse consequences, even when you're trying, I was like, oh, this would be a great thing for Matt. Like, and your opinion too, it was great. But then like, okay, what are like the downsides of like, you know, when you're like in a way comfortable, but then there's also this like weird, like somebody's giving you money.
I've heard Mr. Beast and others, I think it's a trend now to try and invest in creators and stuff like that. And I'm curious if people start doing that more broadly, like will that same like behavior emerge where it's not as good of an idea as it seems when there's that like, you know, motive. Even myself, like I put out a few videos and it's like I want to be consistent on this, but as soon as there's like a busy week that comes up then it's like my full plan's off. I'm getting paid by other means. I can miss a video. Like it's not a huge thing. Whereas like, you know, if Maddie were to fire me tomorrow, I'd be like, oh crap, I guess YouTube's
gonna, let's go.
I gotta really like, you know, step up my game on the content side of things if I wanted to keep in this world. So yeah, I think there would be a psychological difference, or I think there is a bit, but it's probably one of the many variables, as in like it's tough to put the camera on your face.
Everything adding up.
Yeah, everything adding up.
It was definitely like you were almost like a guinea pig, a test case for us, because you were completely different from everybody else that we mentored, because we didn't provide money, and we had like, we didn't take money from anybody until they met like a healthy threshold where they could pay their bills, and then we would see some money. So like we had to like invest a ton upfront in time and all that. Whereas we kind of did the opposite with you. We're like, we're going to try what happens if we give money.
Yeah.
Does that accelerate a creator's career? And I don't know if it actually does in the end. Like it was, I'm sure it was a nice like experience and it gave you the opportunities, but now I'm thinking like, would it actually have been, I don't know. It's hard to say, man, I wish you could A/B test you.
This is literally the like basic Matt, income can you, conversation.
Can you run an AI algorithm to see what you would
do? No, honestly, like I probably don't, like, I don't know how you do. I think finding people who are already motivated to do it or already doing it, maybe something along the lines of like whatever you make in AdSense will match.
Yeah.
So then there's like that pressure to make videos.
Yeah, it's very interesting because there is like the motivation factor, but then there's also like if you're already super into YouTube and like we saw value in it, then you're probably already like ready to make money if you just like tweak things a little bit. And that's what we've done with the other people we mentor for the most part. There's a few smaller channels we took, but like most part, it's like you already kind of know what you're doing in terms of like YouTube. But like your monetization tweaks, is usually like the part that's like you haven't figured out this part in a good way or your business stuff. And we give some tweaks for that. And then it's like, oh, whoa, like skyrockets. And like people are making like 10x what they were a year ago all of a sudden.
It's funny. I have a friend like back in my hometown and he just makes like short gaming videos. Not like gaming, but he talks about things that are coming up in the game and news and whatever. And he's like 2,000 subscribers and he's making like $500-$600 a month. He's killing it. It's like you really like, but he's hitting the algorithm. He's like he's kind of figuring out what works best.
And,
it's just interesting.
I love it.
What's next for Matt? Are you continuing in the programming side of things? Like that's like your next like thing that you're really sinking your teeth into?
I did a couple editing jobs recently and I dread opening Premiere.
Well, that is your problem because it's Premiere.
Probably.
Do you know the night and day difference between using Premiere and Final Cut?
And
DaVinci's probably even better and I just haven't figured it or I haven't taken the time to fully learn it. But like, it is a rare occurrence that something happens like, what the heck? What is this bug? Like it's almost never. Premiere, it is daily. Daily, there's something like, what the heck is this? Oh, what? It's just crashed?
Is it because of errors that you're dreading? Or is it just a general opening of video editing?
Sorry, I went on a tangent
Honestly, a bit of both. Especially with modern cameras. Yeah. They don't work in Premiere.
Yeah.
You have to proxy everything or transcode. And if you have multi-frame rates, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's like Adobe has made me quit editing.
Yeah.
I don't want to be an editor anymore.
There we go.
Sorry.
I apologize. Trust me. It's so like. And
that's Adobe.
Quit it's all your fault. That's a great slogan.
I'm now a programmer. Yeah.
Premiere is so bad. I went and became a programmer.
An AI programmer at that. Like,
can you make the NLE, AI NLE for us?
AI programming is easier than Premiere Pro. You heard it here.
Just to be clear, I've never programmed anything AI before. Just websites and smart contracts.
All right, that's probably enough Premiere bashing for today. Thanks so much, Matt, for coming on the podcast. Super fun chatting and catching up.
I wanted the fact that Matt is verified on Instagram. I think we need to tell that story just quickly as we sign off.
Maddie, just rub it in.
Maddie is not verified on Instagram.
Still not verified.
Matt is verified on Instagram. And the way that it happened is Apple saw Maddie's photos with the new iPhone and was like, hey, we're going to make a blog post of this photo. Can we have the rights to use this photo?
Yeah.
Matt was the model in the photo that he wanted to use. And so Matt quickly took the opportunity as a joke and was like, I'm a model. On the Apple website. And then
I need
within
to be verified.
24 hours, you were verified.
Yeah.
And Maddie, who took the picture.
I'm a photographer who took a photo. It's in this. No, nobody cares.
Yeah. So Maddie tried to hop on that trend too. It was like, I was the photograph. I was in this Apple thing. No response.
Still not verified. All right.
I love it.
Can you figure out some sort of hack so I could get verified?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah.
We gotta have you on again. Hey. Bring back the OG crew.
Anytime.
All right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one too. How is that?